government is the problem.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points full of them. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention. Attention.
Government is the problem.
This is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens. What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones
Radio Program.
And now for something completely different.
I'm unlike any life form you've encountered before.
What are you trying to say, Luke? As soon as the intro rolls, no more fighting. Curly Foo stops when the intro rolls. You need to sit in your chair and just calm down, okay, Lewis?
Hi, sir.
Okay, Lewis. Say something, Lewis. Human.
Hi, sir.
He won't talk. That's because I got my sock in his mouth. This is the Dutch Jones radio program. It's Friday the... What's the date today? The 12th of November? It's not a Friday the 13th. Woo! And it is live right now at approximately 5:01 p.m. Pacific time.
We approximately come... 1 hour 45 minutes, sir.
We come live Monday through Friday from 5 to 7 p.m., bringing you a Christian militant worldview with just a touch of sarcasm, a feeble attempt at humor, and hopefully some information you can use when you leave your computer there, or if you're hearing it on a baby monitor or FM or on CB Channel 2. Scotty's in the room. And up there, what was it, Dundee, New York? I love it. I love the name of that, Dundee.
I've been to
Dundee, Michigan. Dundee, Michigan, I've been there. I know who Crocodile Dundee is. He's in jail for tax evasion right now. Actually, I think he got out. But that's what we do here. We offend a lot of people because we hold the line. We don't. If we're wrong, I mean, we're not perfect, but we stick to a narrow path here. And I get a lot of email on the things that I say, and people going, "Dutch, you can't say that. You can't say that. They're gonna get mad at you. They're gonna come after you." Yeah, I found Stuart from Mad TV. Look what I can do. But I'm not going to worry about it. But to answer some of the emails that I got overnight, which I like to do sometimes, from Fred in Gloucester, Massachusetts, yes, to Esther from Alabama, only if I'm wearing boxers.
What?
And from somebody known only as the Gleemeister in Ohio, only in your dreams. But those to answer the email right there. So
what?
He's looking
okay,
at me.
I'm going on your email.
I told you can read my email anytime you want.
Very funny.
I just made it up. It's Friday. We've been splitting wood all day. Lou's been attacking me and trying to work on his groin defense, but I think I just broke one of his fingers. How's it working?
Before.
It never bent that way before, did it, Lou?
Yeah.
So, it bends that way now. You should be thankful. When I was a kid, you know, I wish my fingers had been backwards like that. What's that crunchy sound it's making?
I'm not making any crunchy sound. Now
your hearing's affected. That's kind of gross, man. Stop wiggling it like that.
With this one, too.
We're going to... I'm going to have to get a tennis ball and tape it up. Some of the things that are going on in the news... They're starting another economic summit. This time it's the... Pacific Rim Economic Consortium that's going to go on this weekend. We are paying our president to fly around and visit all these exotic Asian and Mideast territories on your bill, and now he's going to Japan. And they're going to meet in Japan, and then they're going to, they're going to slap around the U.S. economy. It's a thief. And it's just funny that he's out of the country when all this ridiculous stuff's going on. He's out of the country during Veterans Day. And he makes the moron vice president go to all the ceremonies. Just ridiculous, ridiculous stuff. Speaking of Veterans Day, I got my first story here that Stacy found. She put it on Facebook. But let me give you some of the information here to find out more about us. You can go to dutchjones.info if you found this somewhere else. dutchjones.info. J-O-E-N-S. Joe-N-S. J-O-E-N-S. Everybody's going, why don't you just spell it J-O-N-E-S? Because that's not the name I'm using. There you go. Thank you, Lou, for putting that in there. You can also go to thechurch@kawea.org, which you can get to from dutchjones.info. I want to thank people who've been using the guest book and putting stuff in the guest book, talking about how they found us, where they're listening. I had a very good discussion with somebody from Australia today on monetary stuff. He's been listening. He's in like Watatuba. I can't remember the city. Australia. I thought Kawea was a funny sounding name. He's a competitive shooter, but in Australia they can only use single shot bolt action 22s. And he used to be in the army, and he had some stuff posted on his website where he was shooting large bore and using, you know, decent weapons for competitions and stuff. And just pathetic to see how far Australia has fallen. And but because of the economic stuff we talked about last night, he wanted to talk to me about just how intertwined Australia's economy is with China. And they're on the other end of it. They have an opposite trade balance, and it's just sad. Everything's intertwined into a giant house of cards. And as soon as America will probably be the first domino to fall, the rest of these countries. And we forget about it when we do this show that we have, one, international listeners, and I thank you guys all for listening, whether it's pod people or I guess it's in the morning in Australia or late evening. I don't know. I don't understand time zones. Time is irrelevant to me. I just know where I'm at when I'm standing here. But we forget that what we do affects everyone else. And they're really screwing it up. It's a global. It's a new world order. It's not just a new American order, the NAO. So I'm getting email from all over the world. So it's nice to have listeners in Australia. Thank you for tuning in and letting us know a little bit from down under there. It's a shame. I would have loved to have lived in Australia before the gun control laws. And they have some real anti-four-wheel drive laws. I mean, you can't lift your vehicles, you can't weld on the frame, and auto insurance, I heard, is really expensive down there. So tyranny visits everywhere in different flavors. Talked to a bunch of people in Canada, you know, about their hate speech crimes and stuff today, just how terrible it is up there. Well, it's starting to happen here, and I'm going to talk about this story. Many people like to fly the American flag. I'm not crazy about it, but if you want to fly it, I'm not going to say anything about it. But here in California, there's been a real full frontal, in-your-face attack against the American flag and people flying it. And also, to equal extent, the Don't Tread on Me flags and the Confederate flags. You put one up in California, they send over the police, they kick in your door, they call you, they get you in for all kinds of ordinances and ridiculous things. But this young boy, and as it's loading here, I'm getting this from Sacramento, KTXL-TV, Fox Channel 40, listed this. Now, a young boy put a flag on the back of his bike. 13-year-old Cody Alicia. Now, his name is Cody. He's a boy. His last name is Alicia. So don't get confused if I say Alicia in the article here. He says he does this to be patriotic and to honor veterans like his own grandfather, Robert. He had the flag on his bike for 2 months, but Monday he was ordered to take it off at school. Now, the school official in Denair Middle School told Cody some students had been complaining about the flag and that it was no longer allowed on school property. Let that sink into you. A government brainwashing institution won't let their own flag on there. That's how far this has gone. Cody's grandfather says the school was concerned about racial tensions or uprisings because of the flag. That's terrorism. He feels if there was really a problem, it should have been brought up 2 months ago, not during Veterans Week. And if it was an issue of safety, parents should have been contacted. If your kids are threatening an American for flying the American flag, you better get your butt dragged into school. I get dragged in when my daughter defends herself because boys are pulling her hair, or she gets attacked by some, you know, mongrel at school and she beats the crud out of them. I get dragged in, but these kids are threatening to beat a kid up because he's flying the American flag and there's no meeting.
Yeah, there's something wrong.
It's strange. Now, there's a soundbite here. Is that what that is? Is that an audio? Right there? We need to find out what that is. Why don't you check it out? Is it audio or is it a video? That'll probably knock us off the air if we do that. No action should be taken. We don't want any repercussions, says Roger Alicia, the grandfather. We just want Cody to be proud of what he's doing. Roger says the family is not planning to take any legal action, but they do want to meet with school staff. Now, where's the ACLU on this issue? Where's that? Where is he? Cody says he wants to serve in the military someday. Well, yeah. And is raising money for a trip to Washington, D.C. in the spring. It probably won't be there in the spring. After being contacted by Fox 40 Friday morning, Daenerys superintendent says Cody will be allowed to keep the flag on his bike, and he told Fox 40 he and the school are patriotic, but their main priority is keeping students safe. The school will focus on the students who are causing uprisings. Well, yeah. It's going to be Muslims or Mexicans. That's what it's going to be. You don't like it, that's the fact. Maybe some socialist, anarchistic hippies that are there. Now, riding a bike is still not allowed on school campus, but when Cody rides his bike to school, he can now fly the flag. And the reason that is because Stacy and a bunch of other people got really mad today. Stacy got the emails of every teacher in the school and emailed them all.
Yes, I did.
And then emailed the superintendent and the principal. It was great. This got her mad.
Yeah.
She's
I told them, what's wrong with you people?
Yeah.
In front of the school.
So the flag's probably in front of the school, and they're telling a kid he can't have it. Now, and this goes back to, you know, public schools. I'm not a big fan of them anyway. But it's just sad to me when they do this. You know, they're all over California. Children are being told to go home if they have the American flag on their T-shirt. That the Hispanic youth are upset, but yet they fly the Mexican flag in classrooms here.
Yeah.
It's insane. It's crazy. And didn't you have the address of that guy? Where was that, the email? I think somebody should... Oh, wait, what's this? I got a comment here. But we should make sure that every time this happens, we nail him. We nail him as hard as we can, and we don't give up. Even though I don't like the American flag, even though I don't believe that the current America deserves to stand, if a young boy wants to fly that American flag, he has just as much right as these Mexican students supposedly have under the law, which I don't think they do, to fly foreign flags in our nation. Somebody's sending me a mean thing. Hang on a second here, folks. Let's see what this is. Hang on, I gotta answer a rude thing. Okay. Somebody who's listening or something is questioning my sexual orientation. I don't know what that's for, but I'll just answer that little message there and go back to the room. But, folks, we have to stand every time they stand against us. And I want you to look for these things, and I want you to send them to me, dutch@dutchjones.info. Dutch@dutchjones.info. Only a few of you are using this email address. If you see articles, help me out here. Send them to me. Now, Minuteman and two or three other people send me all kinds of stuff, and I read everything you guys send me. It takes me all day. I may not talk specifically about it, but it gets me in the right mindset. It helps build an atmosphere of resistance for what we're doing. And I got to give the phone number out. I'm getting reminded to do that. Get ready here for the phone number. And this is a call-in Friday. It's a show-and-tell day. Tell us what you're doing. I'm going to tell you what we've been doing all day. Dutch, that's not the phone number. Yeah, just dial Dutch Jones radio program, and you'll get me. You just figure it out on the phone. 559-561-8225. 559-561-8225. And then we'll get to another. What was the other article today? I forgot. What was the other article? Oh, we're going to talk about George Soros in the next half hour about how he was a collaborator with the Nazis, and I've collected some interesting stuff on that. Now, Glenn Beck talked about it last night. It's nothing new, but it's interesting, and I find it hilarious that the leading financier of the leftist New World Order movement was a collaborator with the Nazis. If he does that to his own people, because George Soros is really Jewish, I think his last name is Schwarzkopf or something. He's really Jewish, and during the war he collaborated and helped root out Jews.
Schwartz?
Wasn't it Schwartz? Yeah. Well, I've got articles on that. We'll talk about that. But I want you guys to call in 559-561-8225. It's Friday. It's show and tell day. We may not do much showing because I don't have much to show you. There will be links put up on some new gear that we've put up and some things that you can buy when Stacy gets them in the room and you guys can go to them. That'll probably be in the second hour. But what we did today is we spent a bunch of time prepping our wood. We're splitting firewood. We're using a maul. We've got a gas-powered log splitter, but I need the exercise. And we're setting aside the big rounds that are useless, you know, that I can't get them with the big maul, and then Lou's doing some stacking. One thing that people do, especially if they're new to this and they've been using a residential fireplace, take the time to have it checked out. If you've been using... you know, a lot of those little creosote chemical logs, you might want to have your chimney. What just happened there? Did you hear that?
Yeah.
That was weird. I hit something that made a popping sound. Oh, I know what it was. It was this. What was that? Okay, we got it. And you're going to want to check that out, because you're if you're not burning wood, if you're burning those little logs, they sell these logs that clean your fireplace. I don't know how well they work. I would rather have you guys do a there's a chimney sweep tool right outside our door here right now, because everybody's doing it here. Get them ready for winter. Even if it's not a social collapse, get them ready for winter. But one thing people forget when they're collecting firewood, and this is going to go kind of a primal fire starting process, don't just get a bunch of logs and stack them up. Tree bark is designed by God to keep a tree from burning. You have to split the log open to expose the inner fibrous wood to get it to burn. So you have to have wood that's split. So if you're purchasing wood from somebody, if you're somebody that doesn't have the tools, which you should have, we'll talk about later, make sure you're purchasing split wood. You want it split at least into quarters so it's easier to burn. It's easier, you get more surface area to burn once you get the fire going. Don't try to start the fire with just, and this is a good way to practice your fire starting skills in the house, don't just soak it with lighter fluid and let it on fire. It's just, that's ridiculous. Just like with your kindling in survival situations or in camping situations, have just go from small to big, from twigs, split shingles, and have a large amount of it. You can never have too much of this stuff. We're storing it under our house. So if anybody sits far to our house, we're going to cook like popcorn. But we've got a diversity of wood. We've got eucalyptus, which is very oily, burns very hot. We've got some oak. We've got cottonwood burns way too fast. There are guys out there selling cottonwood for huge amounts for a cord. Be wary of it. Because we live in an agricultural area with a lot of nuts and fruits, we get a lot of it's free. We can get, like, I think we just traded some ammo for like two truckloads of I think he said cherry wood stocks. Grape. It was grape stocks, the bottom of grapes. Thank you, Stace. And those things are gonna burn great, but we've got a small stove. We have a very small stove. It's about, what did we decide, 18 inches long? For, you know, about my forearm length, for a length to get in, and it can't be more than 20 inches wide. But the little stove heats the whole house. If you open the doors in the bedrooms, you're warm and toasty all night. But you can't really build a huge fire in there. You got to feed it all night. You put in one or two logs, and you let it go all night. Learn how to work with your flue. Know what a flue does. A flue is like a choke on a carburetor, and I've seen more people that have no idea what they're doing because they have gas-fed fireplaces in all these new houses. Now, I'm not sure if it's, somebody told me it was a law today that all new structures in California have to be propane or natural gas or whatever it is. But you can still burn logs in those. Just turn, you know, once the gas is gone, when public utilities are gone, you can still burn logs in there. So be looking for wood. Scrap wood is fine, but try not to get stuff with chemicals in it. Like landscaping timbers, they're impregnated with arsenic and pesticides. You burn those in your house, you're going to expose yourself to it. Now, I don't think you're going to die. But I know, like, the grape sticks that are out here, the sticks they use on the vines, they got arsenic and all kinds of stuff in them. Burn them outside if you have to, you know, but don't burn them in your house. And don't use those green landscaping timbers if you're going around and salvaging. But getting some 2x4s, things like that to split up for kindling is not a bad idea. Not a whole lot of construction going on, but we've got a gigantic scrap pile of wood that I'm just going to unleash Lou on with a hatchet here soon, and he can make tons of kindling out of it. Old pallets, things like that, furniture. But you still need to start small and work big. You have to keep every scrap of paper, except for your toilet paper. You're flushing down the toilet because it's unsanitary, I told everybody. But things that you clean up just regular spills with, water spills, keep those paper towels if you're using those still. Keep the center cores of your toilet paper rolls. Stuff them with tissues and things that you've used that isn't a biohazard. Stuff those with little timber. You light those. It's a great little compact way of starting a fire. What I've been doing is when we have animal fat, we're saving animal fat and soaking it into napkins and things. Great way to start a fire. Great way to start a fire. So get a coffee can by the stove, start saving your animal fat. You can make a candle with a fabric and animal fat, and it'll burn. And that's a good way to get a fire started. If you have no access, no hope of finding wood because you haven't listened to me and you're still in a city, rolled up phone books and rolled up papers, tightly rolled up, tied with wire, twine, soaked in water and allowed to dry and then lit later, will burn similar to logs. Not going to be as good, not going to put off the same British thermal units. Everything okay? But it's going to be a way that you can keep warm. Now, in the Kosovo, Serbian, all that conflict, that was one of the big things coming up in that cold winter when that war was going on, Clinton's UN war over there. Firewood was hard to get. It was a prime thing. In fact, in I think it was Srebrenica, they had a stadium full of wooden benches. They pulled all the seats out of there to burn, and then the benches were used to make coffins for all the dead, and they buried them on the stadium floor. So it's I know I'm painting a grim picture, but these are the things people overlook. We don't know what the winter's going to be. If you're counting on global warming to make it tropical, I don't know what to tell you. It's already getting cold here at night, and I'm going to give you some numbers, and you're going to laugh, but it's getting down into the 30s, high 30s, low 40s here. I'm used to sub-30s and 40s in Colorado, but I've acclimated to here. I've been here since 92, off and on, mostly. And it could get cold. It gets into the teens here during the nights in the deepest part of winter. So firewood could save a life. It could. You're so spoiled as Americans, and so am I, to be able to just go over and hit a dial. I haven't had a thermostat in 5 years. I've been living either in vehicles right or cabins. It's 60 right now. Ooh. Mom's wrapped in a blanket, actually, right here. I think she's still sick. But, yeah, you did okay. But be thinking about heating spaces. It's a luxury, yes, but if you work today to do it, it might be an easier luxury. Now, to split a log manually, you're going to need either a sledgehammer and a wedge, which is terrible to me because that's just asking for injury to your hands, right, Lou? What? Just like getting kicked in the knuckles when you're doing a groin protection move. But the best thing is called a maul, not an M-A-L-L. Don't go down there and, you know, go to the mall. No, you get an M-A-U-L, like Darth Maul. And a large, heavy device that's a wedge. It doesn't have to be very sharp. It's designed to break the log in half, not cut it in half, to use stored energy released at the right moment to split the log, because it goes back to what I was saying. You need more pulp surface area instead of bark. Bark's not going to catch fire as easily. But most people, they wear themselves out using a maul or an axe. With a maul, you let gravity do the work. Your energy gets it up to the apex of the curve, and then you force it through the log, but you're not really doing it. You kind of let it just fall. If you can't split it doing that, then you're going to need a log splitter, or you need to let the wood cure. And what that means is let it dry more. Rotate your logs out. Keep them where they're going to be dry. Build overhangs now. Store them under your house next to where, you know, if you've got a furnace or something you're going to be running. Let it dry the logs out. Now, you're going to have to I don't have a rule of thumb for that, depending on the climate you're in and everything. Some logs will dry out real fast. Some won't. It all depends. Like the oaks up here just have hundreds of gallons of water in them when they fall. We've got some fallen oaks here that we want to cut up for firewood, but they fell this summer, and they're still heavy, and they're still full of water that they pulled out, these 300-year-old oaks. So we're going to have to wait probably till spring. Well, the rain might not do it. It comes up through the roots. It doesn't really get through on the bark or anything, but it's absorbed through the root system. So we're going to have to wait probably till spring to cut those trees down. Cottonwoods dry out real fast, but they burn real fast, too. They're a poppy, fast-burning wood, good for bonfires, that kind of stuff. You're going to make marshmallows and s'mores and things like that. That's good. Buying the sterno logs and stuff, look at how expensive they are. I've seen them as cheap as $2 each, and they say they burn for 4 to 6 hours. I wouldn't cook over them because they're basically paraffin and glue.
Oh,
sterno logs, yeah. Different plywoods and not plywood so much as particle boards have glue in them.
I wonder if we could use those pellets.
Yeah, the one thing we ran across today when we were at the hardware store is they have these wood pellets. Now, I assume, I didn't want to talk to anybody there. They're playing jazz in this hardware store and I wanted to get out. Why would a hardware store in the mountains play jazz? I don't get it. But they sell these, I think they were 25-pound bags or 50-pound bags of pellets for like $5, wood pellets. If you guys have used those in stoves, let me know what they're for, because I thought those would be great for kindling or getting a fire started. Or once you've got a nice bed of coals, just keep scooping them in there, because they're all uniformed, you know, nice little compressed particles. And I don't know if they're, like I said, because I remember in Colorado back in the late 70s, people were burning corn, not popcorn, but regular feed corn. You know, food-grade corn or fuel-grade corn. People are buffering. Lou, what are you doing? What are you doing? Make sure we're still on.
Yeah.
Okay, we're still on. Well, hang in there. Tell them to hang in there. And so if you guys know about that, that's fine. Fire should always be attended. Make sure you have a screen. Ours is a stove. We can shut the door on. And I mean, and this thing gets hot. It's almost, it's off to one side in our living room because it's projected away. It was put in as an afterthought. We live in a converted milk barn. It was built to stay cool. So it's not exactly the best place in the world. But for me, it doesn't matter. I like it cold. But you've got to protect the surfaces in there. If you do not bring barbecues, propane, charcoal, fire into your house unless you're well ventilated. Don't just have an open-faced barbecue cooking. Every time there's a cold snap in L.A., Mexican families die. I don't know why Mexican families. Maybe their houses aren't as airtight in Mexico, but there's always some idiot that brings the hibachi in to warm the family, and he kills his kids. And the generators. They bring generators inside in L.A. It's a weird, stupid thing to do. Carbon monoxide needs to be vented out. That's why chimneys exist. If you're going to bring something in, move your stove, put it underneath the vent hood for your stove, and run it through there. But even then, there's no guarantee because it usually uses electricity to force air out. You can't use a barbecue or those outside, those, you know what I'm talking about, those movable fire pits. Unless you have a hood and a way of evacuating it. If you don't have a fireplace, that's pretty much it. If you can locate a stove now. Now, we can get you some stoves from little portable camp stoves. We should put those on the page. From some of our surplus sources. I think they're they weren't very bad. They were like $90 to $100 for this portable. It looks like a little tiny barrel with legs. It even has sock warmers on it. And it's a close-up kind of thing. Shipping's expensive on it because it's heavy. But it's got stovepipe that you can come with it, and you can punch a hole in your ceiling, get real crude in a survival situation. But see, that's what I'm talking about, prepping now. Prepping now to have an alternative heating source in your house. And a lesser point, make sure you're buying blankets. I don't care if they're cheap load blankets at a swap meet. Will they keep you warm? I don't care if they're ugly. They'll keep you warm. You want to start getting fabrics and plastics to cover your windows with. If this thing goes down in the winter, there's not going to be any heating oil. They're already talking about heating oil shortages right now. And what are you going to do? If you depend upon heating oil, you depend upon natural gas, those types of things, or you just don't have the money to pay for it, you have to insulate your house. Your windows and doors, mostly your windows, if you don't have double or triple pane windows, are going to be a huge escape for your heat. Get plastic and a staple gun and just staple them over. You're not going to – people say, well, won't I suffocate? Well, yeah, if you bring your barbecue in. But insulate, insulate, insulate. Get things to cover your doors underneath. Staple some heavy rubber to your door so it, when you close the door, it doesn't come through. Get sandbags to put in front of your door at night. Help keep people from coming in anyway. Weatherize your house. If you're going to go the handyman route, do it right now if you have the money. But that you don't have to go out. Just get some plastic, get some fabrics, and start stapling up your windows when the time comes. Black out your windows. Shut doors and just live in the living space that you need to keep warm. Those of you that live in the northern United States, it's going to be nasty, but most of you know how to survive. You people already have fireplaces. It's the city folk that think their heat comes from that little knob on the wall. Folks, we're going to keep talking about more practical stuff here. And when we get back, we'll talk a little bit more about some other stuff that we've been doing. Food storage, maybe. I don't know. We'll see what you guys want to talk about. It's Friday. It's open forum. You can call in. We'll be right back after this small break. Hurrah, hurrah for the bonny blue flag that bears a single star. Hurrah, hurrah for Southern Rights. Hurrah, hurrah for the bonny blue flag that bears a single star. As long as the Union was faithful to her trust. Like friends and like brethren, kind were we and just. But now when northern treachery attempts our rights to mar, we hoist on high the bonny blue flag that bears a single star. Hurrah, hurrah, for southern rights, hurrah. Hurrah, for the bonny blue flag that bears a single star. Hurrah, hurrah, for southern rights, hurrah. Hurrah, for the bonny blue flag that bears a single star. First gallant South Carolina nobly made the stand. Then came Alabama, who took her by the hand. Next quickly Mississippi, Georgia, and Florida. All raised on high the bonny blue flag that bears a single star. Hurrah, hurrah, for Southern rights, hurrah. Hurrah, for the bonny blue flag that bears a single star. Hurrah, hurrah, for Southern rights, hurrah. Hurrah, for the bonny blue flag that bears a single star. You
on the banner of the right. Texas and fair Louisiana, join us in the fight. Davis, our loved president, and Stephen, statesman rare. Now rally round the bonnie blue flag that bears a single star. Hurrah, hurrah for Southern rights, hurrah. Hurrah for the bonnie blue flag that bears a single star. Hurrah, hurrah for Southern rights, hurrah. Hurrah for the bonnie blue flag that bears a single star. Virginia, the old Dominion state, with the young Confederacy at length has linked her fate. Impelled by her example, now other states prepare to hoist on high the bonnie blue flag that bears a single star. Hurrah, hurrah for Southern rights, hurrah. Hurrah for the bonnie blue flag that bears a single star. Hurrah, hurrah for Southern rights, hurrah. The bonnie blue flag that bears a single star. Then cheer, boys, cheer now, raise the joyous shout, for Arkansas and North Carolina now have both gone out. And let another rousing cheer for Tennessee be given. The single star of the bonnie blue flag has grown to be 11. Hurrah, hurrah for Southern rights, hurrah. Hurrah for the bonnie blue flag has gained the 11th star. Hurrah, hurrah for Southern rights, hurrah. Hurrah for the bonnie blue flag has gained the 11th star. Then here's to our Confederacy, strong we are and brave. Like patriots of old, we'll fight our heritage to save. And rather than submit to shame, to die we would prefer. So cheer for the bonnie blue flag that bears a single star. Hurrah, hurrah for Southern rights, hurrah. Hurrah for the bonnie blue flag has gained the 11th star. Southern rights, hurrah, hurrah for the bonnie blue flag has gained the 11th star.
Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones Radio Program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
There's rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new
attention.
World order. A new world order.
Attention.
Government.
This is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones, Dutch Jones
Radio Program.
And now for something completely different.
I have an ultimate storage capacity of 800 quadrillion bits.
That's pretty good, Lou. You're back. I'm back. We're back. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. And we are live right now. It is 5:34 on Friday, the 12th of November. It's kind of a small, little, intimate audience. Everybody out doing their FAC. They're, thank God it's Friday, going to Bennigan's. I used to go to Bennigan's when I was on the working rolls and get me a gigantic chocolate shake, Sicilian cheese balls, and a these cheese pocket things, and then this great big hamburger. And that's why I got up to about 315 pounds.
McDonald's.
Well, McDonald's too, but I can't say that I miss it. I do miss it. I love the taste of that food. I love food. I love
the weight gain 3,000.
Yeah, and weight gain 3,000 that Luke kept slipping me into my apple juice. I just thought it was grainy tasting. But no, we went and worked out yesterday. We did the treadmill. I did more than I've done. I found out my weight's about 265. We should have weighed Lou. We didn't weigh. Did we weigh Lou?
Yeah.
Yeah. How much were you, Lou?
246.
146. Yeah, 146. That's with, you know, with all of his knives on. Yeah, he did pretty good. He did setups on the inversion board, and I had him do some punishing things they used to do to us in the military just to have fun and do it to him.
It didn't work on me, though.
Yeah, he cried. He didn't work. He didn't toughen him up. It broke him. He's like, I don't want to do this. And he went running out to the car and played on the computer. But no, today we split wood. We did some prep for food. We cleaned out some 5-gallon buckets. I say we as a group. Yeah, the only thing you did was clean the buckets. Lou and I said we. So you didn't complain when I said we split wood. You didn't go, oh, that was just you. But when I said we cleaned buckets, you're like, oh, it was just me. You're trying to gain. I'm trying to make it a team effort here, and you're trying to turn into a little task Nazi. Go sit in the corner over there. Put the blanket over your head. I just pulled the blanket over her head. I'll make you go sit in the peanut gallery back there with the disabled veterans that come in on Fridays by bus. You look like a Russian refugee with that blanket on your head. Lou, I wish I could get you to turn the camera on just for a second so we can see how it's like 60 degrees in here and you're wrapped in felt. Camouflage felt. You look like a bad episode of Robin Hood the Musical. I don't know. But anyway, we were doing some food prep stuff, cleaning out the cans. She's all giggling over there now. And cleaning out stuff, sanitizing stuff, looking for things around here. We went and kind of did an inventory on all of our red winter wheat. That stuff lasts forever. I found out we've got several hand mills to grind that down, because what good is wheat if you can't turn it into flour? We've got one big one, really nice, industry standard. I don't remember the brand name, but it's designed to put a bicycle on it, and that's what Lou's going to be doing. Lou and the other kids and people that aren't, you know, they'll all do their turn on it or they don't get any bread. But we have quite a bit of red winter wheat, rice. Oatmeal's our new thing, and we're stashing that stuff. I get a lot of emails today. I got one. God bless her, Debbie. In the listening audience, it said, when do I stop preparing? I just said that phrase that was created on the air here last week or whenever, that the process is the goal. You never stop preparing. You make it a lifestyle. If it can't be a lifestyle for you, then I don't think you're going to survive. And I kind of scared her a little bit, but, you know, they're just like, well, over Christmas, can I stop? Because, you know, I want to spend that money on Christmas gifts. Make the Christmas gifts survival gear. We were looking through the hardware store today. All kinds of little camping stoves and little gadgets and widgets and fire starters. Make those your stocking stuffers.
Unorthodox weapons.
Unorthodox weapons, Lou and I found. Roofing hammers. All these kind of implements for working in the garden that would be useful. Have a survival-themed Christmas for your family. Do it right now. You still have time before you make up that fake Christmas letter and tell everybody how great you are and how good your kids are doing. They're not really on crack anymore. I hate those Christmas letters. I really do. Send it out and just say, hey, look, this year we're going off the grid. You can hide it, word it any way you want, and say, we would like gifts that are related to survival and camping. Let's say camping. We've taken up camping. We're going to be outdoorsy types. Yeah, prepping never has a finish line, Minuteman says. That's exactly right. But turn this Christmas. There's still time. I'm gonna. Everybody that's asking, what do you want? I want a digging tool. I want a hoe. I want seeds. I want heirloom seeds, non-terminated seeds. I want 5-gallon buckets. Because it's actually cheaper and easier for your in-laws to do that. Or I want a gift certificate to Mountain House. I want a gift certificate to djstore.tk so I can get some really cool stuff.
We don't have certificates.
I know, but they could just give us their credit card number and trust us. We'll have to print up some certificates. We put out some 10 and 20% off coupons out there, but none of you used them.
They're expired.
Yeah, they're expired. No, I'm just kidding. We already give huge discounts. What was that?
What?
Is that your finger breaking?
Yeah.
Oh, great, Lou. Whew. But turn this Christmas into a survival attitude. Turn Thanksgiving into it. Practice cooking that turkey out in the backyard buried in a sand pit. Go Dutch oven on your relatives. Send a message. That's what we're doing. Last year we went to the in-laws, and God bless them, they like to have Thanksgiving dinner at about 8:30 a.m.
It was 10.
It was not 10. He was up at 4, and he was cooking, and it was bizarre. So invite them over to your house and have turkey MREs or something. Have turkey dried jerky turkey. Do something. Send a message right now. I haven't seen that one yet, Minuteman. Minuteman's saying go to survivalblog.com and look at the seed article. I don't think I've read a bunch of stuff there. I can't remember all of it. And I try not to read too much of his stuff because I don't want to steal from his. I want to keep the Dutch Jones flavor to what we're doing here. But I do like survivalblog.com. If you're not going to do anything, just go to survivalblog.com and sit there all day and read. It's better than doing nothing. And it's important that you get this information in your head. Stocking stuffers, ideas, little survival blankets, first aid kits. Even if it's just take a bunch of parachute cord and weave it, you know, braid it. I guess braid is the proper term, and give it to people. Make little survival belts and things like that. And let it become a lifestyle. I'm trying to ingrain that in these two. They're close. Everything has to be a survival lifestyle for me. We waste nothing. Waste not, want not. Look at everything you're going to do and look at the economy of it in a survival attitude. What is the benefit of this? What is the benefit of that? We went looking today. We needed to buy a metal bucket for the ashes from our stove. $23 for a metal bucket. $25 for the big one, $23 for the little one. It's ridiculous. But you can get a whole metal trash can for like $14. So, you know, you got to be wise that way. Now, is a trash can too big? Yeah. But we'll come up with something. You know what we did? I took a 5-gallon bucket, put about 5 inches of water in the bottom of it, and started scooping in the coals. It didn't melt the bucket. Took it outside and dumped it where we're going to grow stuff someday. Dump the ashes right there. It's potash. It's fertilizer. Because our little stove fills up with ash real fast, and it stops the efficiency of the burning process. I could see it. I could take a match and stick it in there when it had logs in it, and there wasn't much oxygen. So when I come up, do you need some more? I'm not sure what you're talking about. More what, Minuteman? We need more of everything. We need more oops. Yeah, we have lots of oops. So I don't know. Yeah, whatever you want to bring, bring it. We use it. We put it to work up here. We've already got plans for about 90% of the stuff you've brought up in the past, brother. And we're still working on it. Still working on it. We got 11 people in there. Did we lose somebody? I thought we had 12. Yeah. Did I offend somebody? Yes, as much parachute cord as we can get. We actually had a crisis that the – I'll tell you about this. Some people, what they do is they bring their RVs and park them up here. Now, they have to be – you know, don't come up here with a piece of garbage and dump it kind of thing. But there's a guy who's had an RV up here for, I think, since 99. Well, the roof started leaking. The roof started leaking, and so we went out. We got one of our camouflage tarps and a whole bag of that parachute cord that you brought up, brother. And we wrapped this thing in, I mean, you can't get into it now. I mean, if we have to, we can use scissors to get in. But we didn't want this man's survival supplies, because if he doesn't make it, we can use them. And we didn't want the motorhome to be ruined, because it's just, they got estimates. It was going to be like $2,000 to fix the roof on this motorhome, just from sitting out in the sun and the wind. Fifth wheel, excuse me. Thank you. It's a fifth wheel. Thank you for the correction to make sure I'm always accurate. So when you come up here and you see this big Christmas gift wrapped in camouflage tarping, and blue tarping, we had to use two tarps, wrapped in parachute cord. You know what that's from, Minuteman. It's from all that P cord that you brought up. Yeah. What we've been doing is braiding it and giving it to everyone in the militia, everyone in the church, putting whistles on it, putting fire-starting stuff, and giving it away as gifts, just like we're doing to you guys. When you guys answer a question on here and you answer it honestly, we're sending you either DVDs or we'll send you little trinkets, little gifts. But it's important to get in the mindset of this, let everything you do every day. Stacy likes the P-cord. What do you?
I like it.
She wove a dress out of it. I think it looks like old chainmail armor, but green. I'm going to make a kilt out of it. I'm going to make a parachute cord kilt, I think, now that I know how to braid some stuff. I was going to do it out of macrame, but that was kind of itchy. And aluminum cans. Remember those old things from the 70s? They make out of, like, Dr. Pepper cans and 7-Up cans. They make hats. And
once in a while, the secondhand store, you can find
Yeah, those. You'll find those. Those are ridiculous. You know, you get, like, a paper punch. You punch holes in the can. And it's just, I don't know. That just reeked of the 70s, but I remember it. I think I had a Mountain Dew hat that somebody made for me. Yeah, I've seen the designs and things. Whoa, what's going on here? I lost most of the show. Hopefully you get... Okay, good. We're going to make sure that we save as much as we can. If not, the show just goes off into oblivion, but that's okay. Thank you, Olima. Our archivist, Olima, just announced that her computer crashed, and she's the primary recording person. If we had another computer, we'd be doing it here.
My flashlight.
My flashlight, is it on or falling out?
It was turning on.
Okay, thank you, Stace.
Happens.
What we did, yeah, Minuteman saying on the, no, don't worry about it, Early Ma, it happens. I can't, you know, I'm surprised it doesn't happen more often with as many problems as we have. Minuteman saying make sure that it vents so that the mold doesn't start growing inside. What we did is we opened the vents that are in there so you can see it's sticking up, and there is a way for the heat to, you know, through just the heat building up and coming out and stuff. Plus, I don't think the tarps are going to last more than a couple months, so we'll have to open it up, air it out, do those kind of things. And we opened a couple windows in the back so it will go and do that. But it's a good idea to do it. I mean, these people, they've got these campers, they've got these things, and we've got two vacant houses right now, people. Pastor told me to talk about this. We've got a double wide and basically a triple wide trailer. They're not the Taj Mahal, but they're nice. We walked through them today. They're in good shape. One's got a stove, one doesn't, but we could put a stove in the other one. And we're looking for Christian families. Christian patriot families that, if you get what this show is talking about, and you're not a white supremacist, and you're not a
homeless drug addict.
We had a guy, he heard this show 2 years ago. He shows up on Super Bowl Sunday in a wheelchair. You know, he's a Rastafarian. I've talked about it before. Because he had heard a couple shows, and he thought, hey, man. But he didn't want to do anything. We didn't care if he was in a wheelchair. I had nothing to do with it. More of the Rastafarian thing, and but it's important to know that we're looking for people here still. There's investment properties around, well, not investment. There's properties around here. The prices are dropping if you want to live. We heard about one today. It was under $300,000, a 3-bedroom, 2-story. Yeah, $250,000 for this house with some horse property, right inside the national park. This lady, we're in the hardware store. You know, and I wear camouflage everywhere. I got my jacket on. You can't see my gun. And Stacy's wearing camouflage. I think Lou is wearing an I Hate Hippies shirt or something.
No, I was wearing this shirt.
And this hippie lady with her beautiful little girl comes up. She wouldn't even look me in the eye. She's just staring at my manly chest going, are you guys hunters? And I'm like, well, yeah, why? How do I attract deer to hang out at my house? And she's looking right at my chest. I said, well, there's deer feed over there in the section on the other side, and you get a salt block. Anything that your horses like, you know, apples, carrots, put them out on your lawn. Because I saw she pulled up in a horse trailer. And I said, and she's like, okay, she goes, well, we're trying to sell our house, and I think the city people would like it if they see all those beautiful deer hanging around. I don't want to shoot them or anything. I just want them to hang out. And I'm like, okay. So I asked her about her land, 2-story house, right inside the gate of the national park. So when this goes down, your backyard will be millions of acres of pristine wilderness. So it's going to be listed up here. She told me the listing agent when it comes. I'll probably put a link on the page for it. But what we've got here on our own property, we've got a 22-acre property, gardening, water. We got water year-round flowing. We got wells. And we're looking for people that are going to pitch in with the work around here. Right now, there's the pastor, a on-again, off-again caretaker who lives here in one of the houses, and me, and we do the digital stuff. We're doing videos. We're doing outreach. But the pastor needs help. People that are good with their hands, people that want to work in the garden, people that will train with us, people that don't have a problem picking up a weapon and going to front site and doing the training when we go or with the training here. We are actively recruiting families. Things are getting bad. We need people. We've got a lot of bachelors. We're short on women folk, which is weird. I don't know how. I guess women, you know, no insult to the women in the audience, but not a lot of women get this attitude. So if you're interested in this, you give me an email, your family. There's a couple people looking at it, but you know they've been saying that for a year that they were gonna look into it. There's no jobs here. You pretty much either have to be self-sufficient on the internet or work down in Visalia. And there's industry, hospitals, but the unemployment there is anywhere from 15 to 40%. 40% if it's agriculture. But if you're a nurse or medical something, that's going on here. There are going to be a lot of jobs coming up here real soon because they're going to put in that light rail, the high-speed rail system. I got some Jay Leno's just giving us a beating on that. He's making fun of the whole area because we're spending $1 billion on a high-speed rail to go to Fresno. It's like, who wants to go to Fresno? And then the other joke was, well, it's not really high-speed rail till it gets to Fresno. Then they give it some crystal meth, and it takes off real fast to Sacramento. So, but up here where we are, it's God's country. If you go look at my Facebook page, there's some pictures there of the area. You know, if you go to the churches, you'll see some. But if you want more info, email me and just say you're looking at relocating. Now, it's not something overnight. I don't want you showing up like the Beverly Hillbillies. What you do is you take a vacation. You come out here. You check it out. You go to church with us. Maybe you train with us for 3 or 4 days in one of our long ones coming up in the spring. And, you know, you don't even have to be 100% on our eschatology or on our theology. We're interdenominational. We have, like I said, Nazarenes, a couple recovering Catholics. Stacy used to be a Catholic. Lou is some kind of weird warrior Buddhist thing. I don't know.
He was not.
But he's converted. He got baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. And so we're actively looking. And I'm putting it out there to you people. There's an offer. The hand is out to you. If, you know, you're willing to work, you've got some assets, you're not just going to come here and be a burden to us like I am. I'm just kidding. I'm a burden. I don't do much at all. If water got in you, need... Oh, I see. I was reading something about that back. But, yeah, it's a good place to survive. And people are going to go, California. We're not California. Tulare County is a island of Christian conservatism. Not that, and I think I'm even farther right of that than they are. But we're a different little flavor here. And we have a chance here. And we're on the southern outer border of what's going to be the new nation, I believe. When this thing falls apart. Some people call it Jefferson, whatever. It's just a little bit north of us. And we have fallbacks into some great places, lots of caves. We are in a strategic and tactical position. One way in, one way out. And in the winter, it's only one way in. And then you got to turn around and go out because the snow is 20, 30 feet up behind us and those roads are impassable. Today, we pre-ran the roads. We do it every once in a while, and we were looking at them, looking for landslides for our escape route. And it's just beautiful up here. I mean, it was a sunny day today. We've been having cloudy and foggy days. But today was 60 degrees, 65 degrees, and just beautiful. Everything's green. It looks like Ireland here. I've never been to Ireland, but it looks like the pictures of Ireland I've seen and movies I've seen about Ireland that were probably filmed in Spain. But it looks like that. You know, we're steep terrain. We're a deciduous forest, oak trees, that kind of thing. And then you go up a few miles, and it's gigantic pine trees. And then past that, it's the redwoods. And we can make it here. We can survive here. The Lord put several of us here, and maybe He wants to put you here, so you need to check it out. I'm seeing we got quite a few guests in here. How many people are in there right now?
14.
For those of you that don't know, just go to dutchjones.info, DutchJones.info, and check it out. Check it out. There's no monetary investment. This isn't Bo Greitz. I'm not selling anything. I'm just putting the hand out. We're looking for Christian warriors and their families. Christian women who want to homeschool their kids, you know, Christian grandfathers and grandmothers that want to come up here and maybe retire, but they got a skill. And, you know, you're a cobbler, a farrier, you're good with animals. And we're looking for machinists. We're looking for everything. One driving way in and out, but there are a number of foot options. Yeah, I didn't want to bring that up, Minuteman, but thank you. We have trails. There's old four-wheel drive trails. There are ranches around us that are supporting us. That believe in what we believe in, and we can use cattle trails and stuff to get out of here. We have an airstrip. We now have a member of the church that's a pilot and bringing in bush aircraft. Not on our property, but the community has a abandoned airstrip. So things are looking good. We just want the people, good quality people. We're turning people away. And don't make it sound like we're desperate and we don't need anybody, but I thought, how do I know who's out there that God might want here? we've got people who disappeared 10 years ago that are coming back going, hey, I know I burned my bridge and I told you guys were idiots and you're fanatics, but I'm scared and I don't know what to do. And the pastor hands them a copy of Patriots, make sure they have a Bible, and says, well, wherever you live, go to church. Sorry. And we're working on a letter, and Minuteman wants that letter. I want to get it to you, but it's not final drafted yet. I forgot to tell you that. Once we get our turnout letter, you know, that we're going to hand out at the gate saying, you know, you weren't abiding. There's a time to cut ties that bind, and there's a time to reinforce the ones that are here now. So I'm making an offer to you guys. Come up, check out the property, check out the website, look at our theology, look at our doctrine, look at what we're doing. Heck, we let guys like Minuteman in. We'll let anybody in. I'm just kidding, Minuteman. They let me in. The church. Who? They let Stacy and Lewis in when I brought them. Hey. And it's to be part of something. And for those of you that are in the cities that are panicking, but you've got the right attitude, you've been doing the right thing, we're not the only ones out here. There are other groups like us doing the same thing. I can tell you right now, Rayville, Missouri is doing the same thing we're doing. Pastor Thomas McConnell in Rayville, Missouri. Google him. So, hey, Navy Davies there. we're reaching out. In fact, Navy Davies is an example of that. That you're a recent person that reached out to us. We didn't turn anybody away. We get to know each other. There's a courtship period. Let's see. Minuteman can come up and check on the place a week from today. Hey, the pastor was real impressed, Navy Davy, that you guys are putting forth on that front sight training. I told him that on Wednesday night, and he got a big old smile, and he was like shaking his head saying, that's a good sign, that's a real good sign that you guys are seeking out the training. And in fact, Navy Davy and his group, his clan of individuals there, clan with a C, not a K.
What Jason Nicholas is listening.
And it's just showing a motivation and a righteousness in that direction. Stacy says she wants to go to Front Sight too, so she's online looking for certificates right now. Mm-hmm. Who's that in the picture, Stace?
Oh, it's just someone's kid.
Oh, someone's kid. I thought maybe it was. I don't know what you're looking at. Okay, we're coming up on the break here, and then when we come back, we're going to be on Liberty Tree Radio. I've got some other articles to talk about. We've got some show and tell via the internet. I'm going to show you some new stuff that Stacy and Lou put up on the site for sale. You can get BDUs off the site now, all kinds of stuff. I thought you guys put the BDUs up. I heard you doing it. You took them down?
No, I never did.
Okay, I'm really confused now. Anyway, I don't know what we're going to have now because I thought I heard them putting up BDUs, but now they don't want to. So we're going to be doing that. I'm going to talk to you about the effect that Arizona's new law that is being attacked is having on what is actually happening to their crime rates, their Latino rates, and that kind of stuff, and how it's affecting the rest of us. So we're going to be back right after this. And we're going to be an extended break here because I need to take a drink of water because I swallowed a bug. And we'll be right back after Lewis hits play. I'm trying to get him to hit play.
I didn't hit play.
You didn't hit play. I don't hear it. What are you playing? There it is. We'll be right back.
We sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor.
Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones Radio Program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message, and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points bulletins. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention. Attention.
Government is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens. What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time
for radio program.
And now for something completely different.
We'll get to the bottom of this.
Okay, I guess we're back live on the 12th of November, 2010, for what's left of it. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program coming to you from the little town of Cahuilla, California. In the Sierra Nevada Mountains, Central California, of course, just outside, well, about 40 miles outside of Visalia. If you know where Visalia is, south of Fresno, you know where we are. We were not in a city. We're in people out here call it the country. It's urban interface. It's a lot of houses. If I can hear my neighbor yelling at his kids, it's not the country. You know, so it's urban interface. There are houses every few yards and sometimes hundreds. My nearest neighbor is exactly from where I'm sitting, 148 yards. Yes, I've lazed his window to see how far away he is just in case, in case he's shooting at me. I got to know how far it is, so it's all written on my dope sheet. But we come to you live with a Christian militant worldview Monday through Friday. And I want to welcome all of our Liberty Tree radio listeners just came in. I see Ed's in there. And welcome all of our listeners, no matter where you're hearing it from. We appreciate everyone who rebroadcasts this, who records it and downloads it and rebroadcasts it. I know Watchmen Radio sends it out on a delay because I start getting emails at like 1 o'clock our time in the afternoon. I got to sneeze here. Hang on. No, I don't. Oh, this is terrible. I hate it when a sneeze is just teasing me. It's like, I can't concentrate. But what we do here is we try to push the full crown rights of Jesus Christ into every aspect of the God's creation. And that includes the holy cause of liberty. And it's going to be an interesting twist if you've never listened to the show before. Sometimes we Bible thump. Sometimes we talk weapons. Let's hang on here. I'm answering a question just... for trainers, and we do our best to keep it balanced, spiritual and physical balanced. So I might be talking about news articles like I am today about political stuff. I might be sharing some gear that we're offering here to try and raise money for this ministry. But tune in over a period of time. Don't listen once and judge it. I'm getting a lot of mail like, I can't believe what you did. I can't believe what you did. It's just, you know, you can't say that, you know. And then they don't stick around. They get mad after 20 minutes or something. Or they hear me say the word faggot. Or I haven't said that all day. And they're like, oh, you're so hateful.
You,
fag.
Yeah, bat fag who likes to listen on the pod. Download. He loves it. Yeah, bat fag, BATF fag, you know, Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms faggots. But I don't do it to enrage. I do it because that's in my vernacular. I hate sin with a righteous hate, with a warm, burning hate. So it's just the way it is. I use those terms not to incite a riot, but to show you where I stand. To show you where I stand. There are some words I won't use. I won't use racial terms. Not because I think, you know, that if, you know, one way or another about it, it's not something I use. I don't swear. You don't have to worry about hitting that button for me. So that's just the way it is. Well, what we're going to talk about today is we've got some newspaper articles here that I want to talk about. Everybody's going on and on about Arizona. You know, their laws getting shot down. That they're tearing it apart. Well, the fact is that they put it forth, and you know my opinion. I wish that the governor would have just said, okay, it's the law, let's do it. Well, guess what? Even though these judges in the 9th District Court are tearing it up and judges in Arizona are tearing it up, it's having an effect, and it's having a good effect. Even though the federal courts have struck down major portions of Arizona's anti-illegal immigration law, the measure known as SB 1070 appears to be having one big effect. It's driving Latino residents out of the state, legal and otherwise, illegal and otherwise. They're estimating, and you know how they estimate, who knows, about 100,000 Latinos have left this year, estimates a new study from the BBVA Research Center that uses data from the U.S. current population survey. Now, Mexico is reporting that about 23,380 of its citizens moved home from Arizona this year. Hallelujah. The remaining tens of thousands of Latinos could have moved to other states within the United States, but the study authors say they don't have enough evidence to make that determination. They also don't know how many of the 100,000 were immigrants, legal or illegal. Still, the researchers think that SB 1017 explains the exodus. Well, yeah. In August, State Senator Russell Pierce wrote an op-ed hailing reports that illegal immigrants were fleeing the state because of the law. This is the strategy of SB 1070. Attrition through enforcement, he wrote. Arizona has made it clear through our policies that illegal immigrants are not welcome here, and they are self-deporting from the state. This goes back to the, and I want to stop here for a minute and apply it with a broad brush. Everybody says, but there's 20 million illegal aliens. We can't deport them all. If we passed a law tonight, federally, that said you're going to be arrested, they're going to self-deport. This law hasn't even been allowed to take place, and already 100,000 left. Think of the impact. Arizona is not a very populous state. If this were to be California, that would be more like a million here. Because of that 20 million, we've probably got 8 million of them, if that number is even true. Now, Governor Jan Brewer spokesman Paul Sensman tells the Upshot he thinks it's too early to know if SB 1070 is causing the illegal immigrants to leave the state. But the goal of SB 1070 is to prevent and discourage illegal immigration activity in Arizona, he said. So even I love it. It's just like the munitions law that was going to be in California. It didn't pass. You know, the one saying you can only get 50 rounds, you have to give a thumbprint, you know, all this stuff for... Well, it didn't pass, but merchants are stopping selling ammo because they know it's going to pass next time or the next time after that. It's having the same effect. Ammo's going to be hard to get in California. So don't tell me that, oh, go to court, fight these laws, do all this. It doesn't... What matters is the way the public relations goes, the impression on the desired targets, and the spirit of the attitude that you put forth this idea. It uses groupthink to destroy your enemy. Now, if every state attempted this, even if it got caught up in the courts, how many more hundreds of thousands would leave this country? Now, the report's authors say that the loss of immigrants, legal and illegal, will harm Arizona's economy. Okay. The authors estimate that immigrants produce about 12% of the GDP of the state. That's a lie. Immigrants also tend to take on different types of jobs, the usual. That's jobs white man won't do. Okay, so they're saying they do 12% of the GDP. Let's just say for the sake of argument that's true, but what about the resources they eat up? Schools. You know, oh, they pay taxes. Yeah, they pay taxes when they buy something, but most of them are not filing income taxes at the end of the year. Most of them are not paying income taxes because the employers that hire them illegally want them off the books. So the only time they're paying taxes is when they buy a gallon of gas or 32 tortillas and a can of beans at the Save Mart, period. That's a small kickback considering the millions of dollars they cost us in medical, education, health care, crime. Look at the crime statistics for how many illegal aliens are in prison in Arizona. It's staggering. In 2004, here's more lies here, all kinds of lies. The BBVA study says naturalized citizens paid $460 million in taxes and illegal immigrants paid $320 million in total. Non-naturalized immigrants contributed $29 billion to the state's economy in 2004. It's all flawed. It's a completely slanted article, of course, because the media is, you know, pinko commie, you know, Fabian socialist garbage. What was it, scummunists? Scummycrats and scummunists. That's who we got working against us. Worland, are you in there? I can't see. I'm reading the article right now.
No, he's not.
It's a complete lie the way they're writing this. Their crime rates are going down. Their graffiti's going down. It's just terrible. You know how I know this? Because here in California, crime's going up. Hispanic-related crime is going up all over the state. Graffiti is going up. Emergency rooms are being impacted more. We're just seeing more of an impact here because most of them came to California and Nevada. Nevada welcomed them with open arms, and so did California. And the picture they have shows this mother and father, or mother and daughter, crying because the bill was, you know, it was an injunction against it, basically. It's a psychodrama. It's leadership by suggestion. It works both ways, doesn't it? And in this case, I think it's a good thing that the state of Arizona is staying tough with it. And I didn't expect this. I was surprised to see this. I thought that there would be enough education on the part of Mexico and everybody. They'd probably be sending more illegals in to expatriate into Arizona out of Mexico, knowing that this will probably get shot down and, you know, trying to build the burden for the protests. The protests are getting smaller in Arizona. And you know, I pray that that more will flee. I don't know where they're going. Hopefully, most of them will stay in farther south California, which will be northern Mexico. I don't know where they're. Yeah, there might be jobs in Arizona. Stacy says, yeah, those of you that are looking for jobs in Arizona might be a good place to check now because there's 100,000 openings. Of course, they're counting bambinos and all that kind of stuff. So who knows? How many jobs? Let's say it's 50,000 jobs just came open. Let's just be optimistic, but not too optimistic. What effect is this going to have on unemployment down there? Is it going to drop? They won't print those numbers, will they? They won't print the positive stuff. They won't go into the hey, you know, there weren't so many drive-bys. You look at I post a lot of stuff on. Crime in Fresno on Facebook, just to show people how violent it is here. They've had like 48 homicides so far this year. Two guys just jumped out of a car. Just before the show, I was reading the news. Two guys jumped out of a car and just lit up an apartment building with 9mm pistols and got away. Nobody, you know, because the community won't report who it was. They want retaliation for it. And, you know, to embrace the Latino culture, because it's not just Mexico. Don't just say Mexico. It's everything south of the border. And say, well, you know, they're good family oriented. It's all a bunch of hype. It's propaganda. And this isn't turning into a racist show. I'm just being factual. I've grown up around these people. I had a best friend through high school that was a Mexican kid, first generation. I know how they live. Now, maybe the first generations that came over worked their butts off, just like the Okies came here during the Depression and worked their butts off. But it's not a positive impact on our culture. It's not. You come to our country, you adapt to our country, you accept our ways, and you become part of the melting pot. You don't dump the pot over and then replace it with your own and demand to have your own little section. Same thing with the Muslims, which we're going to talk about a lot next week, about how the Muslims come in and they don't as a whole adapt. But good news, very good news that they're doing this. Now, I've got another article here, but it hasn't loaded. Oh, there it is. The tie-in with the Muslim thing. Everything's interrelated in this plot to destroy America. Now, I've got an article here called MS-13 Getting Paid Big Bucks to Smuggle Muslims into the United States. Now, this is a blog. It's not necessarily an article. It's a collection of articles and things that I'm putting together. But you know it. I know it. It just makes common sense. I've seen it on the border when I'm down there. It would be very easy for them to just throw on the clothes of an immigrant worker and walk in the middle of them. Now, what does it mean when Arabic Muslims are giving huge wads of cash to the international Chicano gang, MS-13, to smuggle them to the United States? Well, what it means is that there's an alliance between Al-Qaeda and Mara Selva Chutra, I always pronounce it wrong, Selva Chutra, prompted Honduran officials, including Secretary Minister Oscar Alvarez, to adopt a zero-tolerance law that makes membership in the street gang punishable by 12 years in prison. Honduras is overrun with it. The Muslims with their money are going into, the terrorists are going into Honduras and utilizing the established infrastructure of these drug gangs. Now, MARA members, MS-13, responded to this legislation by beheading scores of victims and leaving notes on the bodies for the Honduran government. One note read, "Idiots, the end of the world is approaching," because they're these 2012 people, too. According to Border Patrol officials, including Sheriff Dwayne Jennigan of Del Rio, Texas, thousands of special interest aliens, used to be called OTMs, with the help of Mara Selva Chutra, I'm going to say MS-13, have made their way across the Mexican border and into the land of the free and the home of the brave. Now, these OTMs, other than Mexicans and special interest aliens, come from countries that pose national security concerns. Saudi Arabia, Syria, Iran, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Egypt, Somalia, Yemen, Jordan, Lebanon, and even Iraq. Now, one thing I want to point out, I don't look at MS-13 as a gang any longer. I look at them as a guerrilla force, as a invading force, as a fifth column, as insurgents that have come here. Are you looking for UPS? Is that what you're doing? They grow marijuana in our national forests. They're the enforcers for the gangs here. They're like the gypsies or the the Sicilians for the Italian mafia. They're the enforcers. They're the bad guys. Now, I can tell you just the section of borders I know, it'd be very easy for anybody to walk in undetected or detected even and try and pass off as a Latino if they were Arab. Just get yourself a USA hat, a T-shirt, some jeans, some tennis shoes, and
shave the beard.
Shave the beard off. Live in Honduras for a while. Learn Spanish. They don't have IDs anyway half the time. And you know, God bless our Border Patrol guys. You know, that are doing their job. The ones that are doing their job, they're gonna have to be highly trained to detect these guys. You know, you've got a mass of 30 to 70 people coming across, and there's two or three Arabs in it. Sounds like a small amount, but think of the force multiplier once they get into this country and they're doing stuff. Now, down in Campo, California, I know for a fact they've caught Chechens, Pakistanis, guys speaking Farsi, but they always disappear. I personally caught a guy from, it was a North African dude. He was black as could be, and he had 13 different copies of green cards on him. I was in BLM land at the time. I waited for the Rangers to come up. I handed them over to them. This is back when we were making citizens arrest before they got really weird and threatened to arrest us. A couple months later, I said, "Hey, whatever happened to that Moroccan dude?" They're like, "What Moroccan dude?" "The guy that I caught. This guy, that guy." I don't know what you're talking about. They cover it up. They don't want you to know how many cells are in America. When it costs $1,500 to $3,000 to get slave labor across the border to go work at Tyson Chicken, and you've got a Muslim coming in saying, "I'll give you $30,000 to get me to Chicago," don't you think they're going to jump all over that and do their very best to get them there and treat them nice and not leave them all dying in a cattle car somewhere like they do the regular illegal aliens? It's something we got to be watching out for. All these, I call them clown houses in Southern California, where they got 30 to 40 Mexicans in them, living in them and working. How many of those guys could be really Middle Easterners that are just really good at deep cover? How many of them slip through the fingers of La Migra? How many of them have enough cash on them just to bribe their way in? They don't have to apply for a visa and come in. They can just walk in the southern border. And when you've got Mexican gangs, Central American gangs, who are businesses, they're businesses. There's a reason they form these gangs, all the way from the street level up to their, you know, to their management levels. It's to make money. It's to make off the book money, make it fast, and make as much as you can. It's a natural cooperative relationship between the two groups. And very seldom, I don't think I've ever seen, other than every once in a while, Fox News will throw a scare thing up, like, "Is it possible? Could it be happening? Tune in at 3. And then they spend 2 minutes on it. They don't do any kind of in-depth. You're not going to see Geraldo down there, who's sympathetic to the illegal alien invasion anyway, talking about the risk. And then Canada, I don't even want to talk about Canada. They can just walk in. Canadians embrace Muslims like it was nothing. The Canadians, you know, welcome them and bring them in and sponsor them and everything, and they just wander away from their waiter job, and next thing you know, they're in Michigan or Minnesota, and, you know, they're working somewhere there, and they're plotting and planning. Not all of them, I know that. I don't think every single Muslim is a cell member, but every single Muslim is an enemy of our state, enemy of this nation, enemy of our God. And what I always say on the show, if they're an enemy of Jesus Christ, they're my enemies. Period. I don't want to go over to their country and slaughter them, and that's not what I'm all about. I'm not for this big corporate war. But I don't want them here either. They need to stay in their own country, do their own thing, and if Christian missionaries want to go over there and try and convert them, more power to them, but I'm not going to do it. I don't want to see one synagogue inside the United States.
You mean a mosque.
I mean a mosque. That either. I'm not big on synagogues either. And that wasn't a Freudian slip. That was probably something I was going to say later. Lou liked that one. I'm not an anti-Semite. I'm an anti-Zionist. Period. But it's simple for me. It's very simple for me that we need to do something to keep an eye on these guys. The government's letting them in. By not stopping the border from being porous, they are, by default, allowing us to be invaded. Why? Because they need more false flags. They need to bang on the wasp nest to get these guys to do something. Well, that's for the illegal aliens. I'm talking about the Muslims. The Muslims probably not. Do you think? I wonder if the Muslims sneak in and vote. You know? Do you think they get illegal IDs and vote? I wonder. You know? And who do they? And they probably vote for Obongo because he's Muslim.
Yeah.
They're probably coming over here. You know? They're getting ready for 2012. It's going to be like 2 million people more than are registered are going to vote, and Obongo's going to get like 80% of the vote.
It wouldn't surprise me.
No. So yeah, who knows? Maybe there's stuff in the ballot box early. That's why they're sneaking all the Muslims in. Meanwhile, he's over in Japan at another financial summit, you know, begging the rest of the world not to destroy us, not to he's asking them to bail us out, and they don't want to anymore. So there's your fearless leader over there. But folks, and the thing of it is that this is kind of the forgotten topic. I don't hear a lot of people talking about this anymore. And you may be saying, why is he on this border thing all the time? Bless you. Why is he on this Islam thing? Let's just move on. Let's talk about chemtrails. Let's talk about fluoride in the water. Let's talk about, you know, the latest virus that's coming down. Other people are talking about that stuff. People who know more about it than I do. I focus on the things I know. I spent a lot of time on the border. I spent a lot of time reading and studying our enemies. And I'm trying to give you a different end of the buffet of patriotic information here. And I need your help to do it. I mean, you know, you've got to look out for these things, too. You've got to be on the watch for this stuff. I'm going to be talking to you. We're having a meeting with the Code 20 guys coming up. And we're going to have them on the air. And we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, setting up observation and reporting and making sure that, you know, we keep an eye on them. If they're not a threat, then there's nothing to worry about. But we have to have committees of vigilance. We have to have committees of correspondence again. Let's use the same model. Let's all work together to see these threats. Now, your threat, you know, I get people all the time, oh, man, you're not focusing enough on the Jesuits. Okay. You watch the Jesuits and come in and call the show when you see something going down. You know, it's just the way it happens. You know, everybody's got their favorite little thing. I try to focus on the things that I think people are not paying enough attention to. I mean, I could sit here all night and discuss calibers and terminal velocities and penetrations and ballistic coefficients, but it's not going to further the cause very much. Those are important things, but it's not going to bring it along. I want you guys to have a warrior mindset and a real Christian warrior, a warrior monk, a warrior priest. I don't want to use priest, but you know what I mean. Has to be well-rounded in these things. And what I'm offering you is something a little different. I'm offering you a fellowship. I'm offering you a chance to come and train with us if you want to. I'm offering you a chance to check us out. And if you like us, stick around. I know it's California, but let us surprise you with what we're doing here. Just because it's California doesn't mean we have to give it back. A lot of food's grown here. We've got great seaports. Economically, it makes sense to try and fight and hold it. And if, you know, God shows us to leave, we'll leave. But this is where we're making our stand. And our biggest enemies right now are the illegal immigrants, and just a huge amount of Islamists here. The colleges, the schools, the businesses, the trucking industry, everywhere you look, it's amazing how many Muslims are coming to Central California now. The Muslim student unions are all over the place throughout California. They have these health fairs where if you go and start handing out chick tracts or something, you'll get beat. You'll be arrested for hate speech. It happened in Michigan, those of you up in Michigan. You go to these public venues where the Muslims are having these so-called open invitational things where you show how cool they are, but if you start challenging them, it gets violent real fast. They'll scream at you. They'll tell you they're going to kill you. You know, this whole everybody, it's funny. Somebody told me yesterday, Islam is a religion of peace. And I said, sure it is.
A piece there.
A piece there. A piece over there. After the explosion, you're going to find chunks of stuff everywhere. A piece up on the roof. A piece on the front. You ruined my joke. You knew it was my joke, and you jumped the punchline because you saw the post. You look like you're wearing a burqa right now with that blank. Lou, get the camera on. We got to show Stacy here in the burqa. Yes, I'm mad because you stole my joke. You jumped the. You're worse than the hecklers I used to get at the comedy store. Yeah, you're just like, oh, I know. I saw you 2 weeks ago. I know this joke. And then, you know, it's not a concert. You don't get to sing along. Let me tell the jokes. You add the seasoning. Oh, I just can't find good help these days. Hey, here, look into the light. Ah, does that blind you? Here, let me use the taser. Here, you want the taser?
We don't have a taser.
I'm not feeding you.
I already ate dinner. We had pizza. It's my turn to cook dinner anyway. So you weren't going to feed me anyway. Yeah, what good is that threat? It's my turn to cook. Oh, well, that's bad. You always make me breakfast. I always have my oatmeal with my diatomaceous earth, my toaster. Yeah, it's dirt. I eat dirt. Toaster, an English muffin, and some tea. And I tell you what, just to get off the subject here as we're winding down this last half hour, or the second to last half hour, diatomaceous earth. I don't know how to spell it. I'm not even sure what it is. It's like fossilized dirt of some kind. But I'm telling you, I've been on it for about a month, since early October, and I'm feeling 5 years younger, 10 years younger. I can run stairs now. I can beat the tar out of Lou again. My arms are feeling better. My knees are feeling better. I'm doing the best I can to get into shape for the Lord. When I come back, we're going to do a little bit of digital show and tell. We're going to send you to look at some of the gear that we've just got up. I have no idea what it is. I thought they were putting something up, but it turns out they didn't put it up. So I don't know. Did you guys put anything up new? Okay, good. We'll be back after the break. This is Dutch Jones, and I want you to check out DutchJones.info, DutchJones.info, and DJStore.tk. We'll be right back.
With their fingers on their triggers, knee-deep in gore. Days and nights they battled the Bantu to their knees. They killed to earn their living and to help out the Congolese. Roland the Thompson Gunner, Roland the Thompson Gunner. His comrades fought beside him, Van Owen and the rest. But of all the Thompson Gunners, Roland was the best. So the CIA decided they wanted Roland dead. Van Owen blew off Roland's head. Roland the headless Thompson Gunner. Norway's bravest sons of the storm. They can still see his headless body stalking through the night in the muzzle flash of Roland's Thompson gun. In the muzzle flash of Roland's Thompson gun. Roland searched the continent for the man who done him in. He found him in Mombasa in a ballroom drinking gin. His Thompson gun, he didn't say a word, but he blew Van Owen's body from there to Johannesburg.
the night. Now it's 10 years later, but it still keeps up the fight. In Ireland, in Lebanon, in Palestine, in Berkeley. Teddy Hearst heard the birth of Roland's Thompson gun and bought it.
In the best conditions, the human body will die after 3 days without water. Having access to clean, drinkable water in a disaster, survival situation, or military action is critical when putting together your survival plan and survival kit. Whether you choose to boil, filter, purify, or use some type of chemical treatment, something must be done when planning your survival, escape routes, and plans, and putting together your bug-out bag or simply your rucksack. That's why I have chosen to offer Sawyer brand water filters. These filters used in the medical industry for kidney dialysis exceed the needs for water purification. With different units available, the basic unit that you should get will be capable of filtering up to 500 gallons a day and will not need to be replaced until you have surpassed 1 million gallons through that filter. I know that's hard to believe, but it's a fact. They've been using these filters overseas for years in the missionary fields and in post-disaster recovery efforts. The filters are lightweight and simple to use, so whether you attach it to a 5-gallon bucket, to a water bladder, or to a 10,000-gallon tank, these filters can do the job for you. They can handle up to 40 PSI, and with different fittings and ingenuity, you can even apply them to inside, inline water supply systems into your house, cabin, or survival structure. So I'm asking you to go to djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer water filters. Order them through us. You will save at least $5 off the retail price of buying them from Sawyer Direct. And as always, the money goes to help the radio ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So, do something right for your family. Get them prepared for a disaster or calamity, and you're helping us out. So don't forget, djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer brand water filters.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
Avenge me!
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order.
A new world order.
A new
attention.
World order.
Attention.
The government is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens. What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones. Dutch Jones
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
It is an attempt at pure creativity.
I wouldn't say that. It's basically an attempt at frivolity and with just enough sense to keep people listening.
Yes,
well,
sir.
Welcome to Patrick James, who made friends with me on Facebook, who's listening on LTR, Liberty Tree Radio. So that's why I like being on these different outlets, especially Liberty Tree Radio. We get a bulk of our new friends and supporters from Liberty Tree Radio. Welcome. Check out DutchJones.info. Go to Facebook, type in Dutch Jones, and just say, hey, I'm listening to you, and be a friend. I don't play all the games or anything on there. I just disseminate information. I use it. I use Facebook for the best I can just to keep doing the stuff. Oh, Stacy's all mad at me now after I wrote in the chat room. I was just kidding. I didn't break your heart. Your heart's made out of formica. It would take a chisel and a torch. She's going to come after me now. But one of the things I want to do right now, and I'm trying to get to it, djstore.tk, djstore.tk for Ted Kennedy or Tumor Kid, and we've got some new items up there. The most important of all those items, everybody's asking me what first aid kit we should get, what do you guys carry? We're going to sell exactly what is required for our militia. Every single member of our militia, everybody who trains with us that's not in our militia, like the Women's Auxiliary, or the medics or anything. And the medics actually carry a whole much more than this. And I got to get to the page and it gets to it. And make sure Lewis didn't spell anything wrong on here. Go under military surplus when you get to DutchJones.tk. It's not really surplus. We got to work on that. And you go down again to page 5. It says Voodoo Tactical Gear.
Somewhere.
We're authorized dealers for Voodoo Tactical. We're going to get out of the surplus. One of the problems we have with the surplus is we put something on the website. It's up there for 3 weeks. Nobody pays attention to it. And then somebody goes, hey, man, I want to buy 4 of those. And then we go look, and they're not available anymore. Because we can't stock stuff. We just don't have the financial outlay, the investment to do that. But if you go to page 5, you're going to see the tactical vest that we recommend. It's a basic entry-level tactical vest for $60. It's nothing fancy. It works okay. Then we've got some build-your-own tactical vests for $40. You buy the Molly vest for $40, and then you add all your pouches. That's kind of what I did with a plate carrier. Next, we've got plate carriers for $75. They're brand new. They come in all kinds of sizes. There's no plates in them. The plates are separate. Everybody, $75, I get a bulletproof vest. Well, one, there's no such thing as a bulletproof vest. It's called hiding behind a tank. But these vests, and then you can buy the plates somewhere else. We don't make any money on the plates. Then we've got some magazine holders. They work great for AR-15s. We have mini 14s up here. Why'd you just blow on my elbow? That was weird.
What?
Just blew on my elbow. You're trying to get my attention?
No, I didn't do that.
Yeah, you're messing with me, man. They're three magazine holders. Well, they hold three magazines for $15, and they're Molly. They come in different colors. Check that out. Everybody's asking us for packs. We found one pack that we like that we recommend people here to get. Again, we go with the lower price stuff. You're not going to find a $200 backpack on our website. If you want that, we'll get you one, but we're very realistic about what Patriots are doing. I don't know who that is. It's probably a wrong number. So we got a level 3 Molly Assault Pack for $60. They come in different colors and different stuff there. And then one of the things that I threw up there, because I told them to put it up, a shooting mat. Especially for those of you that are more into accurate shooting for long ranges. I know it's heavy. It's not something you're going to carry tactical, but it's a comfort thing. And if you're going to be in an urban environment or something, you can sleep on it. There's little pouches for your notebooks. There's $60 for it. And I paid $100 for mine when I got it new. And then people asked for range bags or maybe a medical bag. What was it? I keep getting people I guess they're mad at what I'm saying. They call me up after I do stuff on illegal immigration. I don't know how they got my cell phone number. It's happened every time I talk about illegal immigration. They start cussing at me in Spanish on my cell phone. Is it you, Minuteman? I'm just kidding. I don't know who it is. But this deployment bag for $50 is on there, large Molly compatible. That's been on there for a while. But here, the tactical trauma kit. Now, this is a little bit bigger than just your standard first aid kit. Why is it doing this, Lou? It's my computer. Does yours do it? Yeah, okay, mine's scrunching it up. Maybe if I change the view. Let me try this. Yeah, well, let's try this. I can't read the writing. No, that's even worse. It's just I can't read. It's kind of weird. The guy who needs to read it can't. Control. No. It's not getting any better. I can make it. But this thing, it's a Molly pouch. Ours are all OD. They come with stuff, but you have to add stuff to them. You get one pressure bandage. I recommend having two in there. Get the military-style pressure bandage. You can get Israeli, whatever, for direct pressure. You tie them off. You wrap them around. They're not a tourniquet, but they work good for direct pressure when you can't put your hands on it. One 2-inch elastic bandage. 2 4x4 sterile sponges, 4 alcohol wipes. I throw a bunch more of those in there. I also throw in iodine, all kinds of stuff. 4 5x9 abdominal pads, which is the bare minimum that you want for size. 2 clean wipes. 1 pair of latex gloves. I add them. A good pair of scissors, EMT scissors. They're not the ones that'll cut pennies, but they're good. 10 pain relievers. I throw my other meds in there. 1 Plasti-Pour roll of tape. That's always good to have. 2 benzocolanonium chloride wipes, the wipes. 1 triangular bandage. Everybody should have at least 1 triangular bandage on their gear. Can work as a tourniquet, can work as a splinting aid. Don't bang your head on the microphone, please. He's doing headbutts to the microphone. What was that all about?
That was
not. 1 eye pad, 4 burn first aid creams. You know, that's okay. The creams are fine. And that comes with little instructions. But what I add to it is a tourniquet. Tourniquets are important, but you got to know how to use them. We add this is what I add to them. For $36, you're not going to get this. I add a couple suture kits, little suture, you know, one-time use suture things. We throw those in there. And what we do is this is a big pack. This isn't the little one that goes on your left shoulder, which is just a first aid kit that has your two pressure bandages and your tourniquet in it. This one we put behind the left shoulder and high, and we just make a black cross on it and just say med kit, first aid kit, whatever. And again, the cardinal rule, never use your gear on someone else. Now, if you uniform requirements for everybody and gear requirements are the same, people will have their own. Now, a lot of people are, I almost said a bad word, are belly aching and moaning about having to do this. Like, I don't have $36. I'm like, fine, go build your own, but it has to have these minimum things in it. Go find a pouch that'll fit. These are put together by Voodoo Tactical. They're all over Afghanistan and Iraq. They're selling them by the pallet load of the U.S. military. It's what they're using. And they're durable. We have empty pouches, too. We sell empty pouches to people. Say, fine, go fill it. Go get your clotting agent, put it in there. But they come partially stocked, and you can add more to them, and they're $36. That's exactly what – isn't that – it's the same price that – I think they're maybe a dollar more than what Voodoo Tactical sells them for. I can't remember. But anyway, they're good for you to get. You might find them cheaper somewhere else, but again, you're helping us out with the cause. If you want to buy multiples, we can work out a deal. You know, if you want to get five or more, maybe we can knock $5 each off the price or something. You know, give us a call. Our information's all on the website. But the money that we use, that we get from this, keeps the show going. Pays the bills, expands the show, allows me to spend more time doing research, and also sending me to training so I have more to share with you. Think about that. You know, everybody pitches in. I spend $100 a day or $2,000 at Front Sight. I come back and then share it with you. We buy videos with this money. Lou just shelled out about, was it $90? $85 to get some training videos that we're going to give to you guys when you make donations. We're not selling them. We're going to give them to you guys. So that's pretty good there. So we got that. And then the next big thing everybody asks for is a drag bag. All you snipers in training out there want to get a military-style sniper drag bag. Well, Voodoo Tactical has improved theirs. And when I first bought this one from Voodoo Tactical, it was $220. Well, we're selling it for $140. I don't know. What's the recommended price on that one? It was higher, wasn't it? It was like $180. $150 is the suggested retail price? Okay. So we're selling it $10 under the suggested retail price. It's a very good bag. It's got the Molly stuff on it. It's got extra pouches. I've actually used mine as a shooting mat. Once you take the weapon out of it and all your gear out, you open it up. I've slept on mine. And I don't have mine anymore. Things got bad and I had to sell it. But if you go, it's what I don't like, Lou, is it doesn't have a URL that gets them directly to this page. So we couldn't show them where we were going. Oh, I'm just reading what was, okay. So this stuff is here. It's ready to go. We've got some, and then people said they wanted clothing, tactical clothing. Now, I thought we got the BDUs up, but they'll be up tomorrow. Tomorrow in the morning, you guys got to get those up, because that's our number one requested thing, because we can sell BDUs to you for cheaper than you can go get them at your uniform. We went down, and we had a guy go, well, I'll just go get them at Surplus City. They're like $35 for pants, and a top was like, how much were the pants? 38? 30 bucks. Well, we can sell them for like 24, 22, so it's a little less. And you're buying from us. But we've got these combat shirts, long-sleeve shirts. I like them. They got little pockets on the sleeves. Now, we've had a couple people buy them. Now, let me move this so I can read it. These long-sleeve, yeah, you really need a tactical shirt to run around and yell at Lou. If you spend time wearing a tactical vest, plate carrier, or other load-bearing equipment, then you'll be much more comfortable wearing this Voodoo Tactical combat shirt than your standard uniform. Your combat shirt, this combat shirt has a soft cotton torso section which allows you better fit under your plate carrier vest than the button zipper pockets of a standard BDU top. The sleeves, which is all that will be visible once you're done, don your protective gear, match the standard ACU type uniform and have Velcro pockets, zipper pockets, and patches for your ID and unit patches. The sleeves also have adjustable cuffs, and they're available in ACU Army Digital Camouflage. Whoa, it disappeared. Dang it. I hate that. You're going to go all the way to the bottom. Up, it's up. Oh, yeah, right here. These sleeves also to match the Army combat uniform as well as sand for desert. It comes in olive drab and tactical black. And they just do by the chest size. Like, I don't know what my chest size is. It was like 46 to... no, we've got 50 and 52 is the largest. For Digicam, for olive, they don't get very big, do they? Wow, that's weird. They got different sizes, so you got to check your sizes there to get your color. And then something Stacy today, it was funny. She said, I want to add this thing on there. I want to add a dump bag, a dump pouch. And I'm like sitting there going, why? I mean, dump pouch, it's a bag that's on your belt. And because when I was in, we had dump bags for our magazines, so when we're out there jumping around, we don't, you know, have to throw our magazines. I just use my cargo pockets now. But a nice big open bag, if you shoot skeet or something, it's a good place to put your empties. And I'm like, what is this? And then I saw it. I was like, okay, fine, a dump pouch for $15 doesn't make sense. Well, it attaches to the Molly platform. It also attaches to range bags, those types of things. But this is cool. It's got two mag carriers, one on each side, and then a bigger inner pouch. So it's just, it's got, let's see, let me find this here. Perfect for stashing extra mags, two side-covered adjustable pistol mag pouches, inner full-size compartment with drawstring, extended collar, outside zippered front pouch for loose rounds, more mags, two front pencil pen slots, full flap cover with slide release buckle. It's not Velcro. It's one of the snappies. It's 9 inches by 4 inches by 9 inches. 9 inches long, 4 inches wide. And I thought this is pretty cool. And of course, it's $15. It comes with a bunch of different parts and things. But I encourage you guys to look at DJ Store, look under the military surplus, then look at the Voodoo Tactical. What does this one come in? Digital Coyote, which is my favorite, black OD and woodland camo. I really like that. I don't know. It seems like something I would use. Pistol mags and throw some extra ammo in there. You know, it's not too big. It's not too small. It's something that would be very useful. I see what Minuteman's saying. I hand out your phone number and a 3x5 card to all the illegals that come across along with a free green card. Thank you. And then you tell them to listen to the show. Somebody get me some water. I'm getting hoarse here. There's a very good article on first aid kits on survivalblog.com. Go to survivalblog.com and see what you need to put in there. I've got some stuff on my site, but survivalblog.com is by far more comprehensive than I can be. He's got much more time to put into it than I do. That's his profession. I wish it was my profession. I wish I could just come here 9 to 5, 9 to 9, and just do this. But I've got to find ways to make money to feed the family. I've got to find time to go split firewood. I've got to find time to prep our family. It is a full-time job for me to take care of my family, just like it is for you. Just like it is for you. But I supply the resource here for you to use it. Sometimes it's high usage. Sometimes it's low usage. Don't forget that we have the forum on the DutchJones.info page. The forum is a good place for you guys to interact without me, you know, getting in the way. Make sure you sign the guest book. I always like to, you know, see who's listening and where you're listening from, like the guy from Australia today. Let's see. What's going on here? Tell me to look at the flag. Which flag? Let's take a look at that. Wow. Somebody's telling me that they're having trouble with Somalis in Ohio. You know, Muslim Somalis coming in. Some of Somalis, not Mollies, not that little dog. Somalis come in and they flew their national flag over the state house. And then somebody's saying that, yeah, they saw that and it looks kind of like the Bonnie Boo flag. Ugh. I hope not. I think not, sir. That goes back to, of course, when we were talking about the Islamists coming in to take over the country. I think not, sir. It's all out there. Everything's going on. We're all facing it. We're all doing our best. I know you are. You wouldn't be listening to this show if you didn't care, unless you're some troll trying to catch me at saying something so you can use it against me. And there's still those around. But if you've got something to share, send it in. You've got the emails, Dutch Jones, or Dutch at DutchJones.info. Dutch at DutchJones.info. Call the show. I mean, sometimes we'll have five calls. Sometimes and then we'll go 5 days without one call. That's fine. Whatever you're comfortable with doing. People tell me that they don't call in because I'm doing a good job. Okay. It's kind of like my boss used to say, hey, I'm not calling you in the office to talk to you because you're doing a good job. Okay, I guess no news is good news, right? No news is good news. So just, I got this fly right in my face. This is the season of flies here. When the rain, when the low pressure systems or high pressure or whatever, the flies all come inside, and it's annoying. And it's either that or it's Lou.
Hey,
just making sure you're awake over there. But keep up with the process. Don't when you get tired, zip me an email. Talk to me about what your struggles are. I'll help you out that way. If I don't have an answer, I'll find somebody who can. You're going to get a spiritual response as well as a tactical, physical response as well. I'm going to tell you what, you know, what I think you need to do, and so be ready for that. I'm not a pastor, but I've walked a long way in this stream of thought, and I've had the same pitfalls that you have. I get frustrated when nothing goes right. I'll have days where everything goes right. Training's good. We're able to get the equipment we need. I get stuff out to test it, and it works, and then the next day, nothing works. I'm not a good communicator. I'm not a good leader, and everybody messes up, and then I realize it's my fault, and I just pray about it, and the next day, try it again. This isn't just a job. This is about survival, so we can't give in to the usual stressors and depressions that you get going to work or belonging to some club or... Look at this fly. I can completely grab them. It's like it's like the flies are retarded today. It's like sitting there on my microphone, and I just grabbed him right off the microphone. Maybe he's on the end of his cycle. What? Oh, I didn't talk about Soros, did I? Well, I guess in the last, I'm getting reminders that I promoted that we're going to talk about Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck, on his show this week, maybe last night, people are sending me the stuff. I didn't see the show. Was talking about Soros. And those of you who don't know who he is, he's the guy that's funding the entire New World Order. He's doing everything he can.
I have an article.
Okay, put the article up. Lou's got the article there. SweetnessOfLight.com archive. George Soros is the money man behind a lot of the New World Order. And it turns out that during World War II, before he changed his name to Soros, he had a Schwartz or something like that. He was a Jewish collaborator with the Nazis where he lived. And let me find it here. Let me do this. I'm going to go to the location here. Go here so I can get the actual article. And Glenn Beck's getting a lot of heat for it. But what's funny is that when I did the search on it, he was also on 60 Minutes last year, or the year before, 2009. And he admitted to it. And he was asked, don't you lose sleep over that? Don't you feel bad about helping the Nazis locate and seize lands and take Jews away? And he says, if I wasn't doing it, someone else would do it and would have benefited from it. It was about survival. Now, if Soros is the kind of guy that will turn in his own kin, turn in his own religious brothers and sisters, what do you think he's going to do to us Christians? Big time. Now, everybody's all mad at Glenn Beck, but he's just rehashing information that's already been exposed but ignored. 60 Minutes! It doesn't get much more in your face than 60 Minutes. You know, maybe they don't have the corner of the viewing audience like they used to, but when I was a kid, I loved watching them ambush people, and a lot of times they made stuff up. I know. I heard terrible things about them. But this is what we're dealing with. Now, I'm not a fan of Glenn Beck. Not at all. Not one bit. But I love the fact that he brought this out, and now he's getting a lot of heat for it, even though it's true. Oh, he's an anti-Semite. How dare him invoke the Holocaust? All the rabbis are going to get their panties up in a bunch and start going after him for this. But this is one time when we have to come to Glenn Beck's defense for telling the truth. Because if he's telling the truth, we have to defend the statement, not really defend Glenn Beck, but we have to defend the information. I want you guys to research this on your own. Don't depend completely on me, and spread it around. Oh, did you know George Soros, the guy who funded the Clintons, was a Nazi collaborator and admitted to it. And on top of that, he's a Jewish person. And actually, that happened a lot during World War II, but they don't like to bring it out in the history. They don't want to talk about it. A lot of Jews collaborated and had their own people killed. And that's going to happen, too. I mean, we know all the sheep are going to turn on us, right? Okay, this is, it was 1998. I was wrong. I said last year. Thank you, Lewis. George Soros interviewed on 60 Minutes. When the Nazis occupied Budapest in 1944, George Soros' father was a successful lawyer. He lived on an island in the Danube and liked to commute to work in a rowboat. But knowing that there were problems ahead for the Jews, he decided to split his family up. He bought them forged papers, and he bribed government officials to take his 14-year-old son, George, and swear that he was a Christian and a godsend of a family. But survival carried a heavy price tag. While hundreds of thousands of Hungarian Jews were being shipped off to death camps, George accompanied his phony godfather on his appointed rounds, confiscating property from the Jews. Now, Croft asked, these are pictures from 1944 of what happened to George Soros' friends and neighbors. Now, Croft says, you're a Hungarian Jew. Soros answers, uh-huh. Who escaped the Holocaust? Uh-huh. By posing as a Christian, right? And you watch lots of people get shipped off to death camps, right? I was 14 years old, and I would say that that's when my character was made. In what way? That one should think ahead. One should understand and anticipate events. And when one is threatened, it was a tremendous threat of evil, I mean. It was a very, very personal experience of evil. My understanding is that you went out with this protector of yours who swore that you were his godson. Yes, yes. Went out, in fact, and helped in the confiscation of property from the Jews. Yes, that's right, Mr. Soros replies. I mean, that sounds like an experience that would send a lot of people to the psychiatric couch for many years. Was it difficult? Now listen to what he says. No, not at all, not at all. Maybe as a child you don't see the connection, but it created no problem at all. No feeling of guilt, Mr. Soros? No. For example, that I'm Jewish, and here I am watching these people go. I could just as easily be there. I should be there. None of that? Mr. Soros replies, well, of course, I could, and I'm reading it exactly as it's written, these stutters. I could be on the other side, or I could be the one from whom the thing is being taken away, but there's no sense that I shouldn't be there, because that was, well, actually, in a funny way, it's just like in markets. What if I were there, of course? I wasn't doing it, but somebody else would be taking it away anyhow. And it was there. It was the whether I was there or not, I was only a spectator. The property was being taken away, so I had no role in taking away the property, so I have no sense of guilt. This is the man that's funding the New World Order, folks. This is the man behind global warming. This is the man that's going to put you in concentration camps, the man that betrayed his own people. If you don't take this seriously, if you don't listen to what I and better men than me are telling you, then you need to turn off your radio and stop listening to me. You need to shut down your computer and go play Farmville. Stop listening to me. These people are pure evil. They'll do it to their kin. They'll do it to you. Get your gear in order. Get your family in order. Get your spirit in order. Get aligned with Jesus Christ, and you will survive. Get trained, pray, prepare, and fellowship. If you like what we're doing here, check us out. Go to the website, dutchjones.info. Check out the church at Kaweah. We have two homes vacant. We're looking for Christian militant families that will homeschool their kids and be part of the cause here. We got two homes due to deaths. Elderly people passed on. Bachelors moved on to other homes. We have homes that are available for you folks if you fit in. The only way you're going to find out is if you begin the courtship. You begin the courtship by contacting us and training with us. I'm Dutch Jones. This is the Dutch Jones Show. I hope you learned something. I hope I entertained you along the way.